CD 3.
Chapter 11. The improbability proof control cabin of the Heart of Gold looked like a perfectly conventional spaceship, except that it was perfectly clean because it was so new. Some of the control seats hadn't had the plastic wrapping taken off yet. The cabin was mostly white, oblong, and about the size of a smallish restaurant. In fact, it wasn't perfectly oblong. The two long walls were raked round in a slight parallel curve, and all the angles and corners of the cabin were contoured in excitingly chunky shapes, with large video screens ranged over the control and guidance system panels on the concave wall, and long banks of computers set into the convex wall. In one corner, a robot sat humped, its gleaming brushed steel head hanging loosely between its gleaming brushed steel knees. It too was fairly new, but though it was beautifully constructed and polished, it somehow looked as if the various parts of its more or less humanoid body didn't quite fit properly. In fact, they fitted perfectly well, but something in its bearing suggested that they might have fitted better. Zaphod Beeblebrox paced nervously up and down the cabin, brushing his hands over pieces of gleaming equipment and giggling with excitement. Trillian sat hunched over a clump of instruments, reading off figures. Her voice was carried round the tannoy system of the whole ship. 5-1 against and falling, she said. 4-1 against and falling. 3-1. 2-1. Probability factor of 1-1. We have normality. I repeat, we have normality. She turned her microphone off, then turned it back on, with a slight smile, and continued, "Anything you still can't cope with is therefore your own problem. Please relax. You will be sent for soon." Zaphod burst out in annoyance. "Who are they, Trillian?" Trillian spun her seat round to face him and shrugged. "Just a couple of guys we seem to have picked up in open space," she said. "Section ZZ9, plural Z-Alpha." "Yeah, well, that's a very sweet thought, Trillian," complained Zaphod. "But do you really think it's wise under the circumstances? I mean, here we are on the run and everything. We must have the police of half the galaxy after us by now, and we stopped to pick up hitchhikers. Okay, so 10 out of 10 for style, but minus several million for good thinking, yeah?" He tapped irritably at a control panel. Trillian quietly moved his hand before he tapped anything important. Whatever Zaphod's qualities of mind might include, dash, bravado, conceit, he was mechanically inept and could easily blow the ship up with an extravagant gesture. Trillian had come to suspect that the main reason he had had such a wild and successful life was that he never really understood the significance of anything he did. "Zaphod," she said patiently, "they were floating unprotected in open space. You wouldn't want them to have died, would you?"
"Well, you know, no, not as such, but..."
"Not as such? Not die as such, but..." Trillian cocked her head on one side.
"Well, maybe someone else might have picked them up later."
"A second later and they would have been dead."
"Yeah, so if you'd taken the trouble to think about the problem a bit longer, it would have gone away."
"You'd have been happy to let them die."
"Well, you know, not happy as such, but..."
"Anyway," said Trillian, turning back to the controls, "I didn't pick them up."
"What do you mean? Who picked them up, then?"
"The ship did."
"Huh?"
"The ship did. All by itself."
"Huh?"
"While we were in improbability drive."
"But that's incredible."
"No, Zaphod. Just very, very improbable."
"Ah, yeah. Look, Zaphod," she said, patting his arm, Don't worry about the aliens. They're just a couple of guys, I expect. I'll send the robot down to get them and bring them up here. Hey, Marvin! In the corner, the robot's head swung up sharply, but then wobbled about imperceptibly. It pulled itself up to its feet as if it was about 5 pounds heavier than it actually was, and made what an outside observer would have thought was a heroic effort to cross the room. It stopped in front of Trillian and seemed to stare through her left shoulder.
"I think you ought to know. I'm feeling very depressed," it said. Its voice was low and hopeless.
"Oh, God," muttered Zaphod, and slumped into a seat. "Well," said Trillian in a bright, compassionate tone, "here's something to occupy you and keep your mind off things."
"It won't work," droned Marvin. "I have an exceptionally large mind."
"Marvin," warned Trillian.
"All right," said Marvin. "What do you want me to do?"
"Go down to number 2 entry bay and bring the 2 aliens up here under surveillance." With a microsecond pause and a finely calculated micromodulation of pitch and timbre, nothing you could actually take offence at, Marvin managed to convey his utter contempt and horror of all things human.
"Just that," he said.
"Yes," said Trillian firmly.
"I won't enjoy it," said Marvin.
Zaphod leaped out of his seat. "She's not asking you to enjoy it," he shouted. "Just do it, will you?"
"All right,"
said Marvin, like the tolling of a great cracked bell.
"I'll do it."
"Good," snapped Zaphod. "Great. Thank you." Marvin turned and lifted his flat-topped triangular red eyes up towards him.
"I'm not getting you down at all, am I?" he said pathetically.
"No, no, Marvin," lilted Trillian. "That's just fine, really."
"I wouldn't like to think I was getting you down."
"No, don't worry about that," the lilt continued. "You just act as comes naturally, and everything will be just fine."
"You're sure you don't mind?" probed Marvin.
"No, no, Marvin," lilted Trillian. "That's just fine, really, just part of life." Marvin flashed her an electronic look.
"Life," said Marvin. "Don't talk to me about life."
He turned hopelessly on his heel and lugged himself out of the cabin. With a satisfied hum and a click, the door closed behind him.
"I don't think I can stand that robot much longer, Zaphod," growled Trillian.